eyes right above the camera so I can speak to you. So, and hello, this is Chris Parker. And I had a conversation with Daniela Hofbauer, who's a job life coach on the podcast. And we talked about doing what you love, and not only doing what you love, but discovering what you love. And so you can do that in your work, in your life. So Daniela, why would this be valuable for people to listen to it?
Yeah, so thanks, Chris. I shared in the podcast one of my most effective questions that I used to ask the clients in the coaching. And I gave some very important questions that can bring you out of the biggest crisis. So that is one aspect. And the other aspect is that I invited people to consider not only that job life, that job path, but to go, to come from, to look at their whole life. And as we used to put life in our job box, and I want to do it the other way around. Yeah. Life first, and then you see how you can find a job that fits to what you really love in your life.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where we learn about strategies and tactics to succeed through simplicity, with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Daniela Hofbauer. And Daniela and I met in June this year at the week-long advanced retreat of Dr. Joe Dispenza in Cancun, and had some lovely connections there, and realized that we're kind of in the same business, which is helping people succeed. And she does that as a life coach and a career coach, and she works consults with HR departments. And coming in from Germany, Munich, I believe, off the top of my head, and we stayed in touch then, and we said, hey, let's talk about something that we're both very passionate about, which is love and doing what you love. And so this whole episode, this whole conversation is going to be about doing what you love. And I can't imagine a more perfect thing to talk about. Daniela, before we get into doing what we love, can you share a little bit in your own words? What is it that you do? So, you know, what services do you provide, and who do you work with?
Yeah. Hi, Chris. So first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this podcast. I'm very excited to be part of that journey, and that I have this opportunity. Thank you. Yeah, you asked me what I do. I mean, you summarized it quite well. I call myself as a job life coach, because job coach would be would not reflecting the whole aspect that I coach people, because yeah, you come as a whole, as a person who has a life, and part of that life is your career and your job. That's a very, very important part, but you have a life, yeah, and you have a private life, you have relationships, you have private interest, and so every aspect of life is interfering with each other, and so that's why that is also part of my coaching. Yeah. But mainly, I do help people in getting happy again in their job life, either in their current job or to find a new job. So you never know when you start working with people. Sometimes you think, I need a big change, and then it ends up with changing something completely different in your life, but not your job. Also, I help people in starting their own. Yeah, so that is what I really love a lot. So now talking about what I love. So I really love to help people in creating a job pathway which they are passionate about, in which they are happy again. And that is also my way. So I ask myself that question every day. what makes me happy in my job? So how could I design my life, not only job, but how could I design my life, and how could I make my job fit into that, and vice versa?
Well, I am excited to pick that apart and say, well, how can you design a life that creates happiness that includes the space for a job? I think already saying it that way is, I think, putting things in the right perspective. Now, your background, you worked in HR for a number of organizations in different ways. And then a number of years ago, you decided to shift and go out of, say, the more traditional corporate world into working for yourself. How did that go? Like what stimulated yourself to say leave what some would say a comfort of a salary and go independent and work with people directly? Share a little bit about that story.
So to be honest, I came back into the corporate world, and I still do HR consulting in corporate companies. But you're right, it was a shift for me. So coaching has always been like a passion for me. So since I did my first coaching, it was maybe 20 years ago, I felt that switch inside myself. I felt that I was, after these coachings, I looked at things differently from a different perspective, and that made me feel different. That was the most important part of it. So I felt different because I got aware of myself, my inner beliefs about myself. And that was so mind-blowing to me that I decided that time I wanted to know how that works. I wanted to be able to do that myself and to help other people in changing their life. And that was really so the initial start of the initial idea. And still, it took me years. I was employed that time, and so I forgot about the idea. I thought, okay, maybe in the future I'm going to do that. I didn't know how, and I didn't make plans. And then I decided to quit my fixed my employment to run my own business. So this happened not very voluntarily that time, but I knew something inside myself had created the situation. And that is why today, when I have clients who lost their job, I'm so eager to help them to find the gold in this bad situation, in this bad experience, which in the end turns out to be a positive experience because it gave them the chance to think about again what they want. Yeah, so we're so stuck in this hamster wheel of perceived safety. Yeah, we get our salary. Yeah, and that's true. We are in a safety because we are in a group of people, surrounded by people, and that is very important for us to have the social environment and the social stability in a certain way, even though it hurts and even though you want to get rid of it. So
I like how you said that perceived safety, because some people have expressed that they want the security of a paycheck, and I'm like, well, there's some relative security, but that could end at any point. The company could downsize, upsize, change, move. A new manager could come in who's really not sympathetic to your character, personality, or needs. All of that could change. So there is some security, and also job change, particularly if it's not initially decided by you, can be quite traumatic. And having someone to maybe help them realize that the perspective can shift, that it can be actually a true gift, a path or an opening to something that's fresh and new and creates even more happiness. So I'm curious, Daniel, in order to do what you love, I'm just curious, where do you start from? Do you start from what someone dislikes about their current reality, or do you start with like actually looking at it from a different angle on what really inspires happiness and love in someone, or how do you start that journey to discover what you might love to do in your work and in your life?
Yeah. So generally my coachings do not follow a fixed structure, right? So I do not use a fixed tool. I work quite intuitively. But there is one thing, and this is exactly the start you mentioned that I always start with. I want to bring people out of the idea, okay, what can I do in my job life? How can I change my job? What could I do based on my CV, based on my past experience and my education? So I ask them, how do you want to live your life with all the aspects that are relevant? Not only job, forget about the job first, but look at your life. What inspires you? What makes you happy? To really create a bigger space and to open up a space, and then coming back to the job, which is just a part of your life. And as we spoke before, now most people, they think about what can I do professionally? How could I become happy in my company? So, and then they try to put their life in the box of their current job instead of opening up visions for their life and then finding the job that really fulfills these visions or supports these visions. And that is also what I like when working with leaders, right? And that's also part of the agile leadership concept, to ask the people, how can I help you to support the dreams for your life? What can the company, what can the manager do to help support what's really, really important to you?
And is that how you interpret agile leadership? Sort of a caring interest, or I'm curious how you brought the word agile into that.
So to be honest, the agility concept, I'm not an expert. I was just taking out this piece of not only focusing on the career, on this narrow path of, what can you do in our company, but also to take into consideration the private aspect of people, of employees, right? And
this is an unexpected twist. Let's jump down this rabbit hole. Because I do a lot of work in companies that are considering themselves agile by a formal definition or going through an agile transformation. And the groups of people called companies that are the most successful in that, I find, are already thinking and talking and behaving and believing from a perspective of helping each other as a community, as people, as opposed to a mechanical view of bosses ordering subordinates around. And usually the leaders in those types of organizations are speaking about these beliefs and mindsets without using the formal agile taxonomy language. And what I find is it's really about that, like how to help each other learn and grow and develop in the context of work, because that's how businesses learn and grow and develop, do that on a continuous basis. And then pretty much if you keep your head in that space, your organization will be agile regardless of all these other frameworks and terminologies and stuff. So, I love that. I didn't, okay. That's a nice, That's a nice spin on it.
So I think the size of organizations plays a big role in that as well. What is your experience, and when to in, at oh, which size of these concepts?
There's many different dimensions. The age of the company is very important. The demographics, so the age of the people in the company, the size, and also the geographic spread. Like if you have many, many cultures, that can create new challenges. So if you have a multinational company, but the single most important dimension for agility and safety at work is the mindset of the chief, the leader, the CEO.
Yeah.
Bar none. So you can have very large organizations that are very safe, very agile, very growing and developing, or very small organizations that are very dictatorial. I think smaller, younger startup-y are typically more fluid and agile. And then as they get bigger, they say, oh, we need to professionalize and put structures and policies, processes, standard operating procedures. And then they spend the rest of their life trying to unravel all that stuff they did and trying to get back to where they came from. And I see that every time. It's a tragedy, but I think that's, we just have to go through that as humans. So yeah. So it's, and I also loved how, where you start with it, meaning what is the life you want to live? And fit your concept of work and professional activities into that, as opposed to many people. I know that work provides the structure. So they're serving someone else essentially, and then they try to fit in themselves around it. And it's I don't know, like Stephen Covey talks about first things first, you know, put the first things in the cup, your self-love, your family, your friends, you know, your community, and then on top of that, some other things, and finally maybe work and other obligations. It makes a lot of sense. So, and if you're asking people like to describe that, that life that they want to live, how could someone actually describe that? Because that's such a abstract concept. And for me, I imagine it's probably in two dimensions. There's the life I want to lead right now, this moment, and there's probably another sort of ambition life that you kind of hope for as a general direction. And it's probably between those two things, like immediately right here, and then you know this very moment, and then also a more abstract future. But how do you help people define what a wonderful life for themselves could be?
I like to, as I said before, to open up this space, yeah, and I also ask them, so how do you want to live your life if everything was possible? And that is an interesting point, because then the people get aware at that point how much they already allow themselves even to dream about. Yeah. And if you're not even allowing yourself to dream about something, yeah, to consider that this could be possible for you, then you cut off your dreams. And then you stay stuck in where you are. Yeah. In your safety box. You do the same things. And then, yeah, coming maybe also to Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. Yeah. If you do the same thing, if you're not opening up a door to something new, to some new experience, and if you even not allow yourself to think about it, to dream about it, how can you make steps toward it? You would never ask yourself, how can I make this possible? Yeah. You stay stuck with the question, if that is possible or not. And then mostly you would answer, based on my reality today, I don't see any possibility to make that happen. Right. And that's an interesting turning point in the coachings. Yeah. To make people more relaxed. But okay, right. Yeah. There is something I could dream about. And dreaming about something That is what kids naturally are doing, right? They're feeling into it. They feel happy. Maybe I can give you an example of my life. So when I did my coaching education, so we had to do coaching concept, and that point in time, I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? What is my specialization? And I choose coaching and sailing. Yeah, I said, wow, this inspires me. Yeah, I just love thinking about it, dreaming about it. Yeah, but I actually did not do anything. I just was dreaming and it felt good. I was speaking about it with people. And then maybe 3 years later, I got the opportunity to go on a coaching and sailing trip with someone. So a friend of mine was connecting us because I was telling everyone about it. And I could make this experience. I could experience how it feels like doing that, being a participant, which I hated that time. I didn't want to be a participant. I wanted to guide it. But yeah, I was thankful for the experience. Yeah. So I called it out to the universe and I got a reply and met great people. After that, I knew that that's not what I want to do with the main focus, right? I came back a bit to that this year, but this is how we create opportunities, yeah? When you dream about things and then you open up for opportunities that come in your life.
Yeah, I love it. Meaning it's I give you the opportunity to dream and later when we wrap up, I'll tell people how to get in touch with you, but on your website, daniellehoffbauer.de. And it is in German, but you can easily Google translate it under the life job and life coaching. You actually have a coaching and sailing program that people can sign up for. And it looks like you did one this year even. So you've created that potential in your work and in your life simply based on daring to dream it. And maybe let me check if, cause there's a dream part, but then you also spoke it, you brought it into reality and then, you know, based on some in my beliefs, then the universe starts to organize itself and makes it happen. Is that how you see it as well? That hey, you dared to dream and you dared to speak it and then you dared to do it. Maybe dare is too strong of a word, because did you feel it as a dare or as a happy path? Was it a challenging path or happy path, I guess?
What I discovered for myself, so since I'm really focused on doing coaching, so trying new things, becoming visible in social media, so that was a big change for me as well. And it's more about allowing myself to play, allowing myself to follow what I dream of, what inspires me. And if I'm doing it, if I go into a direction, if I make steps towards it, I find out on the way whether this is really for me or not. If I'm not trying, I'll never know if that's really for me. And the other thing is, which is a very important aspect for me, which I learned and which I also teach my clients, is the things that are for you feel easy. They come up easily. So if you need a lot of effort to make things happen, you will make them happen. But it costs a lot of energy. So you're doing it with your willpower.
Mm-hmm.
But if it costs a lot of energy, you might get aware that maybe that's not the right way. Because if things are for us, if they flow easily. Yeah, but our mind sometimes.
Well, I want to ask a clarifying question because there's takes a lot of energy. I think what I experience with myself and others is if someone is pursuing something that they are intuitively desiring and it's something that they perceive as joyful and positive, then it can be a lot of hard work, but the experience will be somewhat effortless. And there's, you know, people call about a state of flow. But if it's something that you really do not want to do, and if you're very resistant against it for whatever reason, and if you're not listening to that inner guidance, then even though it might be less work, you will perceive it as a lot of effort and burden and frustration. And this is why I think I really like your, you know, if you design your life and then work to, you know, find work that supports and fits within your life, I think you have a much better chance of having a type of work which is more intuitively positive. No, I think no work is. I don't know, let me ask you the question. I imagine every person's job has certain aspects of things they just don't like to do. Some people love administration, some people hate it. Every job has some sort of administration in it. You know, there's some jobs talk to people. You know, talk to people. Some jobs don't. But you know, every job you have to talk to people at some point. You know, so there's. I imagine you're looking for a optimum balance of the things that nourish you in your work.
Yes, I think when you feel like you want to change something, often people are, and I know that from myself, are frustrated. They want to get rid of what is. And then it happens that you generalize, that you put everything in the same pot. Yeah, and then my job is awful. But mainly it's not the whole job that it's awful. There are always aspects that are not aligned with what you really want. Yeah, you might do things that are against your values. That is really difficult then, but if you always go over that, over yourself, then you will come to a point when you feel, yeah, that is not what I want. And then you feel resistance against the whole because you can't just take pieces. Especially if you are employed in a company, you think you can't take pieces, but there are more possibilities and opportunities than you think. Yeah, so I know that from my work as HR, working with a lot of leaders who would need a lot of coaching too in certain cases to raise that awareness in themselves. So you can really, if you have an open culture in a company and you do not fear to talk to your manager, to talk to human resources about your wish for a change, coming with an open mind, then a lot could be possible. Or even if it's about a separation, also the separation could be handled smoothly. But mostly, and that was what was happened to me 3 years ago. Yeah, you're pushing away your dissatisfaction, you generalize because you can't really separate what is against my inner dreams, my inner wishes. With knowing what we want, I think that's the most difficult thing in life. Knowing what we really want, we have our head, which is talking loudly, and we have our heart, which has a more silent and soft voice, showing through body sensations, showing through like soft and tiny signs. And if you go over them, and that's what we learn. Yeah, we have to be performant, we have to be following the guidelines, we have to be successful at work, you have to fit into a system. So we do not give ourselves the room to ask, to really honestly truly ask, what is What does my inner sensation tell me about the situation?
Well,
Yeah.
I was triggered a bit ago, and I'm curious whether you agree or disagree, and if you agree, what can people do about it? If you are living in a state of stress and anxiety and frustration and overwhelm at a company or any situation, I find it's very hard to find that inner calm in order to discover the path forward. So oftentimes, you know, in Abraham Hicks' language, she oftentimes says you can't get there from here. So like if you're in a state of anguish and anger and frustration, then immediately stepping to a space of joy and delight is basically impossible. And what I try to do is set, you know, separate for people to take a different perspective and find some calm in their current situation, and hopefully it, the realization that everything is always working out and it will work out. And then through those kind of conversations, then they can start to say, oh, you know, they can let the frustration down over here in order to open up. Do you see that as well? And how do you guide people through that shift?
I mean, sometimes people start doing something when it's really, really painful. Yes, we human beings, we tend to how can I express that? Push away what hurts. Yeah. So if you don't have an immediate solution, we don't know how, then yeah, we're just pushing it away. It's maybe more comfortable. Or we compensate it with something, with still more work, alcohol, whatever. So in this moment of stress, I really ask people to identify what's really, really the origin of the stress. First of all, I make them aware that they have all possibilities in life. I mean, all. Maybe not all, but there are so many more opportunities. Yeah, so this is to allow themselves dreaming about them. And then the second is to cut the problem into pieces, right? Coming out of this generalization into, okay, what is the piece of my current situation that strikes me the most? And to become aware, what are the good pieces in my life, in my job life, that can stay like they are? So then you get aware. So you come with a problem that seems huge. And then if you cut it into pieces, you find out that, okay, the problem is not one huge problem, but there are maybe more, several tiny problems. And some of them aren't even a problem. Yeah. And then to find, and what do you say? You can't go there in a state of being of stress. You can't become joyful and everything, but you can find the pieces that are good in your life and create a feeling of gratefulness for what is good. And even if it's just a tiny piece, and then to think in tiny pieces, what can you do today to make your day better, to make things that make you feel better? And if you feel better today, then you already created a new future in this, maybe in this tiny moment only.
I love it. I think if someone, well, for me, and I wish this for others, is if you can find even the smallest things to be grateful for or appreciative of in life, that already creates such an amazing shift. And oftentimes, if you are really stressed about a certain specific thing, then discovering something that's very broad and like, okay, I'm just happy. I'm so grateful the sun is shining today. You know, I can walk in the sun, you know, that is, it's such a different vibration or energy than, oh, I'm really angry at that person for that thing they did. And it can open up a different space or vibration for new potential. I'm curious, Danielle, how do you bring the work of Dr. Joe into this? So maybe if you could describe Dr. Joe Dispenza in just a few words, if it's possible, and how does he inspire you in your work, if at all?
So he inspires me, first of all, because I'm a rather rational type of person. Today I'm much more emotional, but also I need explanations. I need to understand the things that I do and understand what's happening behind the scenes. And that is what I appreciate a lot in Dr. Joe's work. So he's this concept of how your thoughts, how you getting stuck in old beliefs and old thoughts, and then you repeating everything, and then you create habits. And yeah, our emotions are linked to our thoughts. So if you do the same things, if you think the same thoughts, then we always feel the same. And I was working with this concept already before I got to know Dr. Joe. When I got to know him, I was like, wow, now I understand the whole concept. So I have much more answers on my questions that I had before. And it works. And for me, it really works, stopping your thoughts, at least stopping your thoughts, and create a new space. If you don't stop the same thoughts, there is no space for new things. So you have to stop them first. And this is scary because, first of all, you might remain in a kind of nothing. Yeah. You know what you don't want, you are able to stop. But what comes next? And that is something I like to play with, because this empty space is what human beings barely can support, because we need answers. We need to fill that up. And so staying with that, this is one big, big key in Dr. Joe's work, I think, but also in my work. And and I like his scientific approach also to show up the benefit of relieving stress in your body, the effect of that on our health, on our life, and what we can create in our life if we live aligned with our dreams, aligned with our body. And our body is always giving us information, what's good for us or not. It's just that we have not learned to, or we have unlearned maybe to listen to that, to listen to our intuition. Yeah, because our head is telling us, yeah, but you have to be a brave follower. Yeah, you have to fit into systems, into organizations, and your intuition, yeah, is just giving you, I don't know, something that you can't explain it maybe. In this moment, you can't explain it. You don't have a justification for why you should not accept this job. Yeah.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, and people, you know, he has written many books. I think Becoming Supernatural is one of them, and You Are the Placebo, because there's also some medical rejuvenation and healing aspect through this, which is absolutely amazing, and they're taking a very scientific approach to it. But being conscious about the belief patterns you have and putting those on hold and opening yourself up for unexpected and unknown, and doing that through meditation, a lot of meditation, and being very deliberate and awake, as he says, you know, I think awake in the mind and calm in the heart is, and also the amazing people. So like you and I went to a week long advanced retreat. You know, there was like 2,000 people. Sounds like a lot, but for me, it's a very personal journey. 2,000 people in this large ballroom, all blacked out. But everyone's on their own journey. And in Cancun, of course, there's, I think we had 2 or 3 walking meditations on the beach, which was,
amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And then meeting people like you, you know, that and staying and connect like that. You know, what a gift that is. And when this is published, the Walk for the World event will already have happened. But in this coming weekend, all around the world, there's people getting together to do a walking meditation all at the same time, which is I'm really excited for that. So, and drjoedispenza.com, I think, is where people can find more information about that. But Daniela, you mentioned I was about to start wrapping up, but I'm going to open up another thing. You opened up that you wanted to do sailing and coaching, and there's a picture that still keeps coming into my mind is to create for myself and with others and collaborate with others, highly immersive interactive workshops for professional people, the business workshops. And I see them in castles. Like I would love to have like, let's call it like a simplicity summit in a castle for like a 3 or 4 days or maybe even a week. And the agenda is multidisciplinary. So Dr. Joe would be there, or somebody who would be, you know, doing a lot of inner mindful work to allow people to connect to themselves. And then there'd be a lot of social relationship work that they could do with others and related to the people there. And then of course there'd also be some hard skills about business and strategy and tactics and some of the new developments or new practices. Wow, I would love that. You know, and maybe we could do, I don't know, maybe there's too big for a sailing boat, but maybe on a cruise ship or something. So it's a
yeah.
So I'm inspired by you. I'm now starting to talk today more actively about we need to do a simplicity summit in a castle at some point. I would love that to happen. So you're inspiring me to already put that out in the universe and start connecting the dots on that.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. I think the environment has a big impact on how we feel and what we can create. So, and that is so interesting. Yeah, also to consider. And that's one other aspect of the whole, right? It's where do you want to be? Where do you feel naturally at ease? In which environment? And yeah, so a castle is. I have my the pictures in my mind of ghosts in the rooms, like old stories that happened in the house.
Well, I could have said,
I would be afraid, but
I could have met a Disneyland castle as well. But we'll see how maybe that's something else. So, love it, Daniela. Thank you so much, and. For people that are interested to get more, in the show notes of this episode, you can find the LinkedIn page of Daniela. And also you can find her at danielahoffbauer.de. And for listeners, we're going to put a link in there that if you would like to do a 20-minute intake conversation, get to know with Daniela, there's a Calendly link that we'll put in there. And just feel free to grab that schedule 20 minutes and say hello and see what you can do for each other. I think that would be absolutely lovely. So Daniela Hoffbauer, thank you so much for sharing doing what you love. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris, for being here and for the nice conversation. And yeah, also for your work, I appreciate a lot that you connect with people, and that is so important today, I think, to have a good network, and it's so fun to interact with people who have the same mindset, to go into the same direction. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Visit ebullient.com to download the Simple Business Design Framework. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.